meeting to order. I want to apologize for not being here in March. I got sick and the message got mixed up, so I apologize to everybody, and I thank Mayor Brasco for taking over. Okay, do we have a quorum?
We do.
All right, we can begin. Audience participation. Do we have any audience participation?
None.
All righty. Let's move on to the minutes of March 8th, 2018.
Move to approve as submitted.
Second?
Second.
Okay. Please, and make sure you say where you're from and your name for Carrie for the record. Are there any comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. All right, we'll go to staff reports, number 3, and Curtis, if you could give the financial progress report.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. So, attachment 3.8 or 3A, we've spent about 53% of the budget. We're through March, so we've got just about a quarter left. We're well within budget and in good shape for the rest of the year. You have it answered the question.
All right, this does require a motion to approve. Could I get a motion?
I'll make that motion. Right. Make your report,
thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second. Bill Gonsi.
Any discussion? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. All right, now it's you again, Curtis.
All right, thank you.
Report.
So just a few brief things. We're talking about infrastructure from the federal level. Yesterday there was some, not I wouldn't call it breaking news, but we did hear from the press secretary that at this point the administration does not expect to tackle infrastructure in this calendar year. They're going to wait until after the midterms to deal with it. So, like I said, not breaking news. I think the writing was on the wall. I think the proposal that the administration put out was not well received by Congress, and so therefore there was never any traction anyway. And obviously, these things have kind of other issues between Korea and Syria and all the other things take precedence. And so therefore, if I was a betting man, I'd bet we won't have anything until the FAST Act expires in 2020. Also, wanted to let you know from a technical perspective, the TAC, which is in June, for our policy committee, that's the one we had discussed. We had to move, we didn't have to move the date for that one, did we? Is that Thursday, Heather? Is that right? For some reason, I thought we had to move the policy date to the...
Tuesday?
Get that. But the other thing was that at TAC, we're having ODOT Central Office. Dave Holstein is coming. He's going to talk about practical-based design process. So after our TAC is over, and it's going to be at the District 4 office at ODOT, he's going to be talking about what ODOT is doing, trying to look at their planning processes and what they need to do to make their, I don't know, Jerry, you can probably say it better, but basically right-sizing projects, using less money, yep, more efficiency.
Goes down the path of the performance-based practical design process.
Yes. Yeah, so if any of you are interested, you are welcome to come. We don't anticipate having a long technical advisory committee meeting, so it'll probably be by 2. And yes, Tuesday, June 12th, will be our policy committee meeting. And that was due to our dates. We weren't able to reserve this. We were told we could, and then they kicked us off. So do the best we can with that. Final thing, just wanted to let you know there are reports circulating, or that maybe some of you saw a press release regarding the city of Akron, that the building that we currently occupy may be sold. I think in order to be renovated to residential-type facilities. If that happens, we'll be obviously looking for office space. Our plan is to stay downtown, stay close, maybe even look at the state building that's across the way, something that still will be convenient to everyone. But I just wanted to give everyone a heads up in case you see anything. Say, hey, AMATS is in that building. So we're going to see what happens there. But right now it's more just rumors. So I'll keep you posted if anything changes. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. All right, moving on, letters 3C, AMATS Federal Funds Report. That's attachment 3C, and David Poulet will give that report.
Hey, thank you.
First off, fiscal year 2018 is coming to a fast close. There's still some projects that are scheduled to sell in this fiscal year, and hopefully they will. There was one in particular I was really concerned about, and I think it has sold. So if you have projects that need to sell yet, and if you need any help with anything, please let us know, because it's important that we keep our balances down to an acceptable level. We will add new projects to the existing TIP as needed, and then when we develop a new TIP this fall, we'll go ahead and put most of them just into the new TIP when we develop it, because most of the new projects are in outer years anyhow. That leads me to the next point. Please program your projects if you haven't already. That's really important. Call Chris Sorma at ODOT District 4 to get your project programmed. And last but not least, we just, it's not on the attachment, but we just scheduled a TAC TIP subcommittee meeting on Tuesday, May 22nd at 9:30 at our in our office. That was kind of a last minute addition, and we scheduled that because there's a project or two that need some additional funding. So that's all I have on the federal funds. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
All right, thank you, Dave. Okay, there is no old business, so we'll move on to new business. Number five, letter A, planning data forecast, population discussion, and Louisa Kreider is going to make her way up here.
Compiling some numbers for the population forecast. So I just wanted to give you a little summation about what we are looking at and what we anticipate in years to come. So this is the first component of the planning data forecast. Really not doing anything too differently from how the last planning data forecast was constructed and compiled. Doing essentially the same methodology as before for 2040. A little bit of tweaking in order to come up with some slightly, we hope, more accurate numbers from the past. And we're going to continue to aggregate data at a sub-area level as opposed to breaking it down necessarily community by community, because I think it helps to smooth out any extremes if we see an extreme jump in population or an extreme decrease. By aggregating those numbers, we kind of smooth out those extremes. So I just wanted to give you a little summation of the model that we're using without getting too technical or mathematical, but just so you understand the basics of the methodology of how we arrive at the numbers that we're coming up with. And I wanted to contrast a little bit because this is the main change that we've made in the modeling from the last time in 2040. And I do just want to issue a little disclaimer that I am not a demographer nor am I a statistician. So the methods we're using are certainly not highly sophisticated. These are certainly just estimates. We don't pretend that we're giving an exact number in the forecast, but we're hoping to come up with a reasonably accurate estimate. So in the past, if you see on the left-hand side, I apologize if I'm standing in the way. I should come over here so I'm not blocking the view. It is a little bit blurry up here. In the past, we've used kind of a combination of two different functions that Excel spreadsheets have incorporated in the software. So in the past, we've used a linear forecasting, just using a straight line, using a regression type of modeling where we take an existing data set of given population counts or population estimates against the years in which they were counted or estimated, plotting those on a graph, and then trying to find an equation for the line that best averages out and describes those data points. And in a straight line model, which is Excel forecast function. We find that if the trend is increasing, it's just going to continue on indefinitely without any limits imposed on that. And for a population forecast, it's not really realistic. And similarly, if it's a decreasing trend, eventually it's going to hit zero. And barring some catastrophic event, that's not a likely scenario either. So we're trying to get away from that linear forecasting because it's really not the most appropriate model for coming up with population forecasts. A little bit more of a useful way is to come up with a nonlinear curve, such as this exponential curve here, kind of the center graphs. This is the growth function in an Excel spreadsheet. And this tends to be most useful when populations are experiencing very rapid change, such as influx of population. One thing I should mention on the horizontal axis or the x-axis, this is where we plot time, and then the population counts or estimates would go on the vertical axis. So as time increases, we can see first on the increasing growth model that you'll see a very rapid change upward if it's an increasing trend or a very rapid change downward. But ultimately, those trends seem to slow down after a community stabilizes with its population. So kind of a compromise that we're going to use this time is a logarithmic model where it's similar to the exponential in that it's curved rather than a straight line. But as you see, as time progresses this way, the change is much more gradual if it's either decreasing or, in this case, increasing. So we thought that was going to give us a little bit more of an accurate picture to the population model. When it came to selecting the data against which to run these regression models, we found we got a little bit different results based on which data set we were using. And I did run the complete AMATS area communities using both data sets. So we decided we were going to divide them up because we thought we got a little bit more accurate trend results by using different data sets for different regions. So for that reason, for Portage County, we're using actual census counts for the last six available census years, 1960 to 2010, because we found that it gave a little bit more reflection of what the expected stronger growth trends, especially in the western half of Portage County. For Summit and Wayne counties, we found that it, again, gave too extreme of a change in population, given past experience and past patterns. So what we used instead was American Community Survey five-year estimates. And just to keep it somewhat comparable to the methodology for Portage County, again, I just used the six most recent data points that were available for the years 2011 to 2016. We did make one exception for the city of Greene, which seemed to get more accurate results when we used the census counts instead of American Community Survey estimates, because again, that seems to be a community that has a stronger growing trend. Then for Wayne County, we also used the ACS estimates. So, when we ran those results and aggregated them together for the entire AMATS region, we came up with a positive trend for population increase. Comparing the actual census count in 2010, around 723,000, we're projecting an increase of about 17,000 by 2045. So that's an overall increase in that time frame of just under 2.4%. Then if we look at it by county, I apologize, I know these graphs are a little bit fuzzy, especially if you're sitting in the back, but I'll just explain kind of the basic trends. We have Portage County over here on the upper right, Summit County below that, and Wayne County over here on the left. Again, we expect Portage County to see a little bit more growth, Summit County to have a little bit milder growth, and Wayne County a little bit above Summit County. And again, just looking at the Wayne County AMATS portion. One thing I just want to bring to your attention is that because we're using different data sets, we've got different years along the x-axis of the horizontal axis. So again, for Portage County, we're looking at 10-year intervals for actual population counts. For Summit County, we're using the forecast year because I'm combining American Community Survey data plus that one set of census data for Greene. So we can't really have an accurate graph because of, you know, either starting with 1960 or 2011. As over here from Wayne County, looking specifically at the ACS estimates. So population estimate here on the y-axis. Again, seeing you can see kind of the general trend of the actual points, and then the regression curve is the one that doesn't have the little bump outs for each point. So again, these are just showing general trends. We can't really reflect with this type of modeling one year and then decreases for another the way a more sophisticated model would. And then we'll look a little bit at the sub-areas in Portage and Summit counties, just breaking it down into the northwest, southwest, northeast, and southeast. See pretty strong growth. So again, we have upward trends. Just bearing in mind that some of these percentages, especially for the eastern half of the county, seem fairly high, but because the population overall is lower, any change is probably going to reflect a higher percentage change, if that makes sense. And then Summit County, just in case you can't read these headings, I know it's kind of fuzzy. Looking at the graph for Cuyahoga Falls over here, Akron in the center left and Barberton below that, and then the regions, Northern Summit, Central Summit, and Southern Summit here. Again, in the more established industrial cities, expecting some very mild population decrease, nothing too drastic, and then increases in the smaller aggregate regions, with particularly strong increase in Northern Summit County, which seems to be reflective of that current trend. I do want to mention that I do have printouts for each community's result as I regressed them before I aggregated them. So if you're interested in looking at what those results were, I have both the census regressions and the American Community Survey regressions if you wanted to see your individual community respectively. So if you have any questions, please feel free to contact me, or if you want me to email you the spreadsheets if you wanted to look at those results a little bit more closely, I'd be more than happy to send that information to you. Thank you very much.
Okay. Any questions? Go ahead.
Can you post them online?
Oh, yeah. We actually have done a webinar going through this. We were going to post that whole thing, so Louisa had to record her voice going over the presentation, so that'll be posted. And again, I think the reason we wanted to display this now is because we know in the past there's always discussion about, you know, what the populations are, so we just wanted to give everyone a lot of time to look at it, give us thoughts, give us ideas. She did a great job. I think it's like a pseudoscience, you know. It's so, you know, I think, you know, when we look at some of the raw data, trying to make sure everything doesn't look unreasonable, but also to reflect sort of what we think is going to happen. And so, and honestly, I think Portage County is going to be at 10% growth or around there, you know, and I think Summit County is going to be pretty much stagnant for the most part. So I think that kind of reflects that reality.
That was great. Thank you, Louisa.
Thank you.
All right, let's move on to resolutions. And we have resolution, this is number 6, resolution 2018-08, and Dave Pillay is back.
Resolution 2018-12. This is adding two new projects and revising the funding to a third project. The first project we're adding is a new resurfacing project that was recently selected in the fall. Back when I was discussing the federal funds, I said we would add these new projects in as needed. And this is one of them. The construction is scheduled in fiscal year 2019. It's in Portage County between State Route 44 and State Route 303. It's funded with STBG funds. It's strictly a resurfacing project, and the funding is $643,000. The second new project is a CMAC project in Copley Township. It's the intersection of Copley Road and Cleveland-Massman Road. The project is adding a southbound right turn lane and a eastbound left turn lane. This total MX funding in this project is $400,000, and construction is also scheduled in fiscal year 2019. The next project is a large ODOT project. This is State Route 8 pavement replacement. This begins at Graham Road on the south end and goes up to State Route 303 on the north end. This is a complete pavement replacement. The changes in this project are the Garvey bond is going to be increased from $47 million to $55 million. They're adding $16,000 in federal multi-lane rehab funding. The state funding is changing from $1.4 million to $2.485 million, and local funding is being increased from $20,000 to $21,000. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to answer them. If not, MS recommends approval.
And Dave, that's 2018-08, correct? Because I think your screen said, and you said 2018-12. I just want to make sure.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, what happened was it was that, and it changed. It changed.
It got bumped up.
Away. Sorry about that.
That's all
you
right.
You are correct.
Any questions for Dave?
Yes. Can I just clarify one thing on that cost? It did grab the Garvey bonds are on here, so also the repayment of the Garvey bonds is also in LSR tracking system. So this really isn't a $120 million job like it shows. We have it estimated at $55 million, which is what we're asking for the increase. If that makes any sense. So the actual Garvey bonds themselves and the repayment of that debt service is also tracked in our tracking system.
Right.
So it's kind of double.
You must know our finance director.
What's that?
No, it makes sense. All right. If there's no more discussion, I'd ask for a motion to approve Resolution 2018-08.
So moved, Marazzi.
Is there a second?
Jim Bowling, second.
Any other discussion? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, that is motion carries. Resolution 2018-09, Jeff Gardner is going to come up here and speak on that.
Thank you, Mayor. Attachment 6B in your packet. There are two resolutions together under attachment 6B. The first one, these are two routine resolutions that AMATS must pass each year in order to remain certified as a metropolitan planning organization. The first one, resolution 2018-09, affirms that AMATS annual approval of the regional transportation plan, Transportation Outlook 2040, also the existing TIP, and affirms the consistency of both of these documents with the State Implementation Plan, the SIP, for air quality conformity. The TIP and the 2040 plan have both been analyzed for air quality conformity in coordination with ODOT and have been found to be in accord with federal regulations. So the staff is recommending approval of Resolution 2018-09. Are there
any questions for Jeff? All right, let's get a motion on that. Is there a motion to approve?
Paradise, so moved.
Is there a second?
Fine.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, motion carries. Jeff, resolution 2018-10.
And the second half of that attachment is every 4 years, the USDOT certifies that AMATS is operating the planning process according to federal guidelines. Last year, AMATS underwent its federal certification review, and the USDOT did certify that AMATS may continue to conduct the planning process for another 4 years, at which point the USDOT will return for another certification review. Annually, the AMATS Policy Committee is required to re-certify or self-certify that it is conducting the planning process according to federal regulations with Resolution 2018-10. The Policy Committee certifies that the MS transportation planning process is being implemented in compliance with all applicable federal requirements. MS activities are carried out under the continuing supervision of ODOT, and the staff is recommending approval of Resolution 2018-10. Are there any questions?
Okay. No questions? I ask for a motion for approval of 2018-10.
So moved.
There a second?
Paradise, second.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Jeff. And Jeff's going to stay up there for 2018-11.
Thank you. Attachment 6C in your packet. The U.S. DOT requires that the region produce a coordinated public transit human services transportation plan. The purpose of the coordinated plan is to improve transportation to the elderly, the disabled, and the low income. The plan seeks to integrate capabilities of Metro and PARTA with those of the area's social service agencies. Specifically, this plan is necessary for the area to obtain and utilize funds from the Federal Transit Administration's Elderly and Disabled Program. Eligible projects seeking to use these funds must be consistent with the area's coordinated plan. The Elderly and Disabled Program awards capital grants to private nonprofit organizations, and the AMATS area receives about $500,000 per year. The development of the coordinated plan has been overseen by a steering committee consisting of AMATS, Metro, and PARTA. The area's social service agencies also participate throughout the development process. Criteria for the elderly and disabled program will be incorporated into the AMATS funding policy guidelines. The AMATS policy committee will approve all projects to be funded as part of the next round of funding. In order to use elderly and disabled program funds in the AMATS area, it is necessary to have a coordinated plan, and the full coordinated plan is included in the packet today, along with attachment 6C. The staff is requesting that the policy committee adopt the draft AMATS area coordinated public transit and human services transportation plan. Are there any questions?
Are there any questions? All right. Hearing none. Is there a motion to approve 2018-11?
So moved. Carrigan.
Is there a second? Clark Manoway. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thanks, Jeff. And we have one more, which is resolution 2018-12. Heather is going to come up here and talk a little bit about it.
Good afternoon. Attachment 68 is the resolution 2018-12. It's the final transportation planning work program and budget for AMATS fiscal year 2019, which begins this July 1st of 2018. A draft of the work program was approved by all of you in January, and it was then submitted to ODOT for review. After receiving comments from both ODOT and FHWA, the major elements of the plan remain the same. Therefore, AMATS staff is requesting approval of the fiscal year 2019 transportation planning work program and budget. I can answer any questions that you have.
Are there any questions? All right. Looking for a motion to approve resolution 2018-12.
Sheridan Huston.
Is there a second?
Paradise.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, motion carried. Thank you, Heather. All right, is there any other business to come before this body? Anything else? I'm looking for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Okay.
So our next meeting is June 12th, unless we get a call from Curtis. If anything changes, we'll let you know if it's going to be canceled or not. But right now, we're scheduled to be back here.
Right now on our TAC agenda, because we have the presentation, we are going to go ahead and TAC, but if we don't have anything substantial for policy, there's no reason for us to get together just for the fun of it. I mean, I know you guys like me a lot.
All right. Thank you, everybody.